You're listening to the CodePlex Project of the Month. If you'd like to nominate a project, go to social.msdn.microsoft.com, create a new bookmark, and tag it with You Shape It. Well, hi, this is Derek Hatchard, and today I'm talking with James Newton King. James, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Derek.
Oh, it's my pleasure. James, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been a .NET developer for about 5 years. Historically, I've done a lot of web development, but these days I do a bit of everything related to .NET. I'm involved in the local .NET community and user groups, and last year I spoke at Tech in New Zealand on Office OpenXML. I work for a services company called Intigen, who are a Microsoft-certified gold partner.
You're the lead developer, or only developer, I'm not sure, on JSON.NET, an open-source project hosted on CodePlex. What is JSON.NET? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
JSON.NET is a .NET library for reading and writing JSON. So what JSON is a data format. I guess it's one way to describe it is as being kind of similar to XML, but with a different syntax and less verbose. JSON has become quite popular in recent years. I guess it's kind of tied to JavaScript. JSON is very easy to use with JavaScript, and as JavaScript has become more popular, so is JSON. Another reason I think JSON has become quite popular is it maps quite closely, much closer to the data used within a .NET program. So JSON has the concept of objects, properties, arrays, and also data types like strings and numbers. I started working on JSON.NET about 2 years ago when I needed to interact with JSON data from .NET. And at the time, there were no .NET libraries for working with JSON data. Probably the most popular feature of JSON.NET is its serializer. The JSON serializer automatically converts between JSON data and .NET objects. And last year, I added to JSON.NET some new functionality that I call Link2JSON. Link2JSON lets you quickly query over JSON data using standard link methods. It leverages a lot of new features in .NET 3.5.
How did JSON.NET, how did it get started? I know you said your motivation was to consume JSON data. If there are client details you can't get into, understand, but you know, what was sort of the real thing that pushed you over the edge? You said, I got to build this. And why did you make the decision to make it open source?
I was working on another personal project, and I started looking at using JSON as a method to send data to the client browser from a web server. And JSON seemed like the best fit. And it sort of grew from there. I sort of started off with some sort of static helper methods to convert from, say, a .NET dictionary to a JSON dictionary, and it sort of snowballed from there. I just needed more and more features. I guess I made it open source just to help out fellow developers. At the time, there were no .NET libraries for working with JSON, and I guess I just wanted to reduce the pain of working with JSON.
All right, so if someone's listening out there, and you know, you're talking about wanting to send data from a web service down to the browser, a lot of people are going to say, "Well, why didn't you just, you know, why didn't you just use XML and you know, parse the XML in your JavaScript?" Maybe can you help unpack a little bit? You know, what's a benefit to someone who's if they're programming in the browser to consuming JSON data as opposed to XML data?
JSON is much easier to use from JavaScript compared to XML. It's really a one-line call to turn an entire JSON document into a JavaScript object. And once you have it as an object, it's just a regular JavaScript object, and you can use it from there. So it's really just much simpler and easier and less verbose compared to using XML.
I know you've written a lot of code. I think the stat I saw was 21,000 lines of code. So there's, you know, you've obviously done a lot of work. What do you hold up as the thing that you're the most proud of?
That 21,000 lines of code does include tests, so it's probably about half tests, half actual API code. But the thing I'm most proudest of when it comes to JSON.NET is probably the JSON serializer. So using a serializer to get JSON data from a .NET object saves the user a lot of time compared to them doing it manually. And I've really focused on making the serializer really usable to a user, and I've added a lot of options to it to help deal with the different scenarios a user might come across when serializing a .NET object to JSON.
And what does the future hold for JSON.NET?
At the moment, I'd say it's quite stable. Most of the features I want in JSON.NET are there. I am looking forward to the new features in .NET 4, particularly the dynamic variable features. I think it would be a great fit for the linked JSON API, and it would really help improve the readability of code when working with JSON.
And I just want to say, James, we've 21,000 lines of code, and you said half that includes tests. Tests are still code. that's still a lot of code. Have you been? You're the principal developer on it. Have other people been contributing as well, or have you sort of been the gatekeeper?
I've been pretty much the sole developer. I have had a lot of help from users giving bug reports and also feature requests. I guess JSON.NET is kind of an interesting open source project in that I have really used JSON over the last couple of years. So all the improvements and bug fixes in it have been driven by users, and I've really just done what they've asked of me, I guess. I have had some users submit code, so they have. It's not entirely mine, but I guess the vast majority is.
That's really cool how community-driven the feature set is. Then if people are using it, they're coming back to you and saying, I really need to be able to do whatever. Do you have a strategy about how you make a decision with someone sending a request in? How do you decide if that's too specific to that one person's needs, or what's your strategy for trying to find what are the real sort of general use cases that should go into the project versus things that are just too niche and specific for one particular developer?
I guess it's always a bit of a judgment call. It depends also on sort of how many people are asking for something. And also, again, whether sort of if by adding this feature, do I affect other areas of the code? If I can sort of add something in isolation which fixes a problem for a certain segment of people but yet doesn't affect anything else, then I usually do that.
One of the advantages of having all those tests in place, I suppose, right, is you can add those changes in and be confident that you're not breaking any of the core functionality.
Yes, definitely. I'd say tests have really been vital. I haven't done much testing of JSON within a browser, and really all the testing is done through unit tests. It's all automated, so I can make changes quite quickly and be certain that it will work.
Now, my understanding is that JSON.NET was your first open source project. Did I read that correctly on your blog?
Yes, it is.
But you've since released other projects as well. Can you just give us a quick overview of some of the other open source projects you're involved with?
I do have a couple of other Coplex projects, including one of utility classes I use on different projects. But I would say really JSON.NET is my main open source project. It's what I spend most of my time updating and maintaining and providing support for.
Do you work on it daily? Is it that involved?
I don't develop for it daily, but I usually get support requests on a daily basis, and I try to reply pretty promptly.
Excellent. On behalf of the community, I'll say thank you. I know that everyone who's using it appreciates your hard work. Any closing thoughts? Anything else you wanted to throw out before we wrap up our call?
No, thanks.
No, thank you. Thanks a lot, James.